This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Dean of DC Sports from The Athletic, Mr. David Aldridge, kind enough to join us. David, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, D.A.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
We're doing all right. I want to spin around on a few different fronts here with you. Just sure. Get your thoughts from a 30,000-foot view first on college football, kind of wrap up the discussion we just had. Indiana's an amazing story. So is Ole Miss. And you know, Miami ain't bad either. You know, it's more run-of-the-mill where people don't think you should be in, and then you win a couple of games. Just kind of give me your take on what we've seen so far in the playoff.
Well, last night was great. I mean, the first weekend wasn't all that exciting, you know. But last night was great. I mean, it was tremendous games, just really exciting games. I mean, I'm old now, but my son was like, wow, this is great. New blood, you know, like to your point, like seeing Miami and Indiana, you know, Ole Miss teams that are not usually in this mix at this level instead of the usual suspects of Alabama and Georgia and Notre Dame and the usual teams that you see, Ohio State that you see this time of year. So I think it's exciting for a lot of people at different touch points that not just that they're new names, but they all play a very entertaining, exciting brand of football. I mean, all three of them are really fun to watch, right? So, I mean, there's going to be an Oregon's fun to watch too. So it's going to be an unusual semifinals and finals because it'll be somebody different, right? And so you can't really kind of predict how it's going to go, but having not only, you know, Mendoza, who's a Heisman Trophy winner, but having some of the skill players that Ole Miss has and some of the defensive players that Miami has, I mean, it's just going to be a really fun couple of games, I think.
D.A., I mean this in the most respectful way possible. Obviously, the season wraps up on Sunday for the Commanders. What is the point of this game? What can you take away from the season finale, if anything?
Just how stupid I am to actually be going up to the game.
And oh, you're making the trip?
Oof. I'm a moron. It's on me. No, I mean, look, there's nothing that you're going to get out of this game. I mean, there's no information that you're going to glean, but contractually you are obligated to play it. I don't believe that they allow you to forfeit the game, so you have to play it. But no, I mean, there's nothing that they don't already know about the people on their team that is going to be unearthed by playing a game against Philly's backups. It's always better to win the last game than to not win it. So from that standpoint, there's some benefit to it. But they know, I think they know where they are and the myriad problems that they have in terms of personnel and in terms of scheme and all the other stuff that they're going to have to fix in the offseason. It's going to be a very, very, very busy offseason for this franchise. You know, not because I try not to wallow in the dead enders that you see on social media who think that it's an expansion team now, because it's not. It's not an expansion team. It's a team that has holes and it needs to fix them.
David Aldridge with us here on Grant and Danny. And to that end, David, I'm going to use a very poorly drawn analogy to try to illustrate my point. I was convinced during the height of COVID that a certain stock would be the future. This performance would be incredible. I ran the thesis by smart people. I ran it by my wife, who's also very smart. And everyone said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I went in, and it couldn't be more worthless at this point. And it was really, really hard for me to come to grips with. My thesis wasn't right. Enter this season. A lot of decisions got made that turned out to not be right. Are these decision makers who, you know, were feeling themselves a little bit, understandably, after a 12-5 season and an NFC title game, how capable are they of saying every one of these things was wrong and you know, maybe removing any kind of excuses and rose-colored glasses to it? Do we trust them 100% to be, you know, sort of self-reflective there to make some of the fixes that we all think need to happen?
I don't see any reason not to give them an opportunity to fix it. I guess that's what I would say. I don't I don't subscribe to this fact that because of one really bad season, you should just fire everybody and start over, because that's what the last guy would have done.
Right.
Where'd that get you for three decades? Kind of knee-jerk reactionary, I'm upset, so I'm going to just fire everybody. That doesn't get you anywhere. It's not to say that you blindly, you know, say Adam Peters can do no wrong or Dan Quinn is infallible. You hold them accountable, but you give them a chance to fix it. And this is the off season that they have a chance to fix it. I think Dan Quinn in his heart of hearts doesn't want to be the defensive coordinator, so they're probably going to have to hire a defensive coordinator. That's his call. He's going to have to hire somebody good to get the most out of this group. And they're going to have to make better decisions, not just in the draft, but in free agency and in trades. They have to do better. But, you know, I think they're pretty capable guys. And it's not just because they went 12-5 last season. I do think that there was a method to it. Did they get over their skis on Lattimore? Yeah, probably. They probably would, if you asked them, gave them true serum, they'd probably say, maybe we shouldn't have done that deal. But I don't think anybody is saying that they shouldn't have traded for Laramie Tunsil. He's had a really good season. Like, if you don't, like, I don't know how you could possibly say Laramie Tunsil wasn't worth it. You solved one of the most vexing problems, especially with a young quarterback, which is left tackle. Like, that's number one problem to solve. Well, that problem got solved. Now you got to pay for it. And I hope that they don't nickel and dime their way to this. You got to pay for it now. You paid for a guy who's really good. And I don't want to start hearing, well, he's 31. No. Yeah. He's one of the elite tackles in football. Pay for it. Now, does that mean he should be the highest paid? I wouldn't say that. But he shouldn't be the ninth highest paid either. You know, like, there's a number that you can get to that would be fair for both sides. But keep in mind, I'm the guy that said it about McLaurin, and see how that took a little while. So maybe I'm not the right guy to ask.
This may be fair or not fair, DA, but, like, looking at through the first two drafts here, the lack of significant production from their top 100 picks, I can't help but look at the fact that a lot of the scouts and folks that are on the road looking at these players have been with the organization for a long time. And I understand this is a relationships-based business and you're going to go with who you're comfortable with. Do you expect any sort of changes to this scouting department after this draft is over?
I mean, I don't know that I agree with that perspective. I mean, they brought in a lot of new people. I mean,
from the scouting perspective, though,
there could be some. There's probably some holdovers, but I think I think they've brought in a lot of people that Adam Peters knows from his days, and not just with the 49ers, but with the Broncos and with the Patriots. I mean, I don't know everybody that's in the organization. Okay, but. You know, I don't think that it was, I'm just going to keep all these old guys that don't know what they're talking about. I mean, everybody can say that after they have a draft. It's not great. You know?
The one example, DA, that I go to is the director of college scouting, Tim Gribble, has held this position since 2020. I don't know how common it is. Okay,
That's
5 years. But for a new general manager to come in.
Not 50. It's 5 years. Yeah.
But my point is, for a new general manager to come in and try to put his fingerprints on the organization, to have a big piece like that be held over from the previous regime where they did not draft well, it makes you scratch your head a little bit.
Well, they brought Lance Newmark in from Detroit, who drafted really well. Like, I mean, like, so again, I just don't agree with your premise here that they just have a bunch of old holdovers that can't draft. I mean, I don't think that's it at all. I think they just didn't hit on some of the picks that they made this year, you know, and it's more than you would like, but it's not because of that. Like, it's because they didn't draft well this year. Like, I mean, like, that happens. I mean, and again, I guess it depends on what you think of Connerly. I think Connerly's had a perfectly solid rookie season at right tackle. Like, I don't get this. Well, I know where it comes from. I don't know why we subscribe to the opinions of people that utterly failed at their jobs while they were here. But that's what people do sometimes. I don't get it, but okay. You know, but I think Connerly's had a perfectly solid rookie year at right tackle. You know, after having to block Brian Burns, Micah Parsons, and Max Crosby for his first three professional games. Like, those are your first three. Those are your first three jobs. That's what you get to do off the rip.
Yeah, good luck.
Right. I think he's been okay since then. I think Amos was playing fine until he got hurt. Like, it's not like they were total busts. 1 and 2 were not busts. Like, I know, I guess people just have to say that because they're 4 and 13, but it's not true. It's just not true. They aren't the best players at their position, but they're not the worst either. So I would say that they have had pretty typical rookie seasons. And if Connerly shows any aptitude going forward, you have now solved both tackle positions for the foreseeable future, which I think is a very, very good thing going forward.
David Aldridge with us here on G&D. So this is going to be a bit of an odd question out of left field, but bear with me here for a second. I got a really good friend, a really smart guy in finance. Has no connection to football, but he said something to me that I thought was interesting. He said, with the Tunsil contract that you referenced a moment ago, David, he goes, they're going to try to re-sign him, and that's obvious. I hope they can come to an agreement. How they structure the contract is going to tell us a lot about the financial wherewithal of Harrison Company. And I'm going, totally. What do you mean by that, right? I mean, it's above my pay grade. I don't quite get it. But he's like, you think about they had 30 partners, and it took...
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A million years to vet everybody and right. All the cash, and he's spread thin with the 7 other teams he owns, et cetera, and so on. It might give us an insight into maybe why they've built a certain way, depending on how they structure this deal, because the smart thing to do would be to front load it while you've got Jaden Daniels on this rookie type deal. Just your thoughts there, and you know, have you seen or heard anything in that regard?
I mean, it's a fair, I guess, position to take. I don't know that it necessarily reflects, you know, liquidity on the part of Josh Harris or not, but maybe, I mean, I suppose it could. I think you're kind of in for a dime in for a dollar at this point. Like, right. If you spent $6 billion on a football team, I don't think you can come out and then say, you know what, I really just don't have the money right now. Could you come back in a couple of years? Like, that doesn't really fly. So I would like to think he would understand, and they would all understand that this is, you know, the cost of an elite left tackle is substantial. If they want to structure it a certain way that lessens their immediate burden, I mean, I guess they could try, but I don't know that I'd be surprised if Tunsil went along with that. So I think he's going to want as much money up front as possible. And again, there's just no reason not for this not to be a relatively easy negotiation. Like, this cannot go into OTAs and training camp like McLaurin did. Like, we saw what happened with that.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, it was a disastrous outcome. You can't have that anymore. Like, you just can't have that again, especially at a position as important as left tackle. So, I will say this, you know, like, if you ask about accountability, this is definitely an area where you can hold management and ownership accountable if they don't get this done quickly. Like, there's no reason for this not to get done in order for Tunsil to be there for training camp. Like, it just, you can't have that again and hope to have a good season next year.
Yeah, the one wrinkle in the Tunsil negotiation, and obviously it's going to be easy for us to look back at the Terry negotiation last year and kind of have cold feet of like, hey, are they going to get it done or are they not? He represents himself. I don't know how
Correct.
That is going to change the dynamic of the way that conversation goes, because it's tough. They're going to have to tell Tunsil straight up to his face why he doesn't deserve to be the highest paid tackle in the history of the National Football League.
Right.
And I wonder how that power dynamic is going to go because, you know, Adam Peters in his 1.5 years here has kind of developed this mentality of being a tough, stiff negotiator. Well, it's different when you're negotiating with Buddy Baker versus the actual player.
No question. It is. But you knew that when you traded for him. So, again, this I'm not accepting that as an excuse. If that's a problem, don't trade for him. You know what I mean? So go trade for somebody else. You know, they traded for this guy who represents himself. All right. Well, that's what we have to deal with as an organization to get this done. Okay. That's what you have to deal with. Lamar Jackson's represented by his mother. Like, I don't know what to tell you about that. Like, he is, but if you want to get him signed, you got to make deal with his mother. I don't know what to tell you. Like, that's the deal. And don't draft him if you don't want to deal with his mother. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, it's, you know, get the none of that liquidity, none of that. I don't want to hear any of that. He's your left tackle. He's really good. Pay him. Like,
seems very simple.
Sports is really amazing. I get this. I do this all the time with baseball people. I don't understand this. It's the only thing where you don't pay people who do their jobs well. Like, you always come up with some reason not to pay the guy who's the best left-handed reliever in baseball or who's the best power hitter in the National League. You just, no, we can't pay him. Well, why not? Why did you, what are you paying him for? Why are you bringing these people into your organization if you're not going to pay them when they do well? If they don't do well, you get rid of them. We all understand that. Yes, you should. But when they do well, you should pay them. And you should pay Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah, I'm going to write some of this down, David. This is good.
I'd be the worst front office guy in the history of the world. Because I'd be just, pay him.
Just pay him. Yeah. Pay that man. DA with us here on G&D. One more about the football team. This coaching regime, as good a deposit as year one was, year two, obviously, you know, maybe you're neutral, maybe you're even net negative, or maybe slightly positive, depends on who you are. But how do we feel about them? Again, I'm not suggesting any kind of action to your point. It would not only serve anybody, after only two seasons. But kind of give me your temperature check on Dan Quinn and his staff.
Well, I mean, they didn't have a good year. They just clearly didn't have a good year, no matter what. Yes, they had a ton of injuries. Of course they did. San Francisco had a ton of injuries. They're going to be in the playoffs and have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody has really bad injuries. Some have more bad injuries, but, you know, I accept the fact that they had a lot of injuries this year. But the job is to coach the next guy to a point where that becomes, if not irrelevant, it just doesn't become mitigating, right? And so that's where they didn't get it done this year. They just didn't. And I think part of that was I just don't think they coached the personnel that they had, especially on the defensive side, very well at all. Like, it's not showing up on Sundays. It just doesn't show up on Sundays. You know, you talk about what they talk about and what they drill down, and they look deep and they practice hard and they do all these things, and it doesn't show up on the football field. So they got to figure out a different way to do it. Now, I think the easiest thing is just to bring in a new DC next year, who can maybe coach him up a little better.
Dan, not to cut you off here. I'm sorry. Every time this conversation comes up, he is a defensive-minded head coach. Why should someone else have to be brought in to do his damn job? What is he doing?
He doesn't want to do that job for now. He's made it very clear. He wants to be the CEO. He does not want to coach a unit. He wants to be the guy that looks at all 360 degrees of the football operation. And again, you knew that when you interviewed him. If that was a problem, you shouldn't have hired him. He's told you what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. So he's not going to put the headset on and start calling fire zone blitzes. He's not going to do that. Like, he could do it, but he's not going to do it. So we got to at some point accept this is who he is. This is what he wants to do. So then bring in a guy that you think can coach your group up the way to a more effective result than what you got this year, which was terrible. You know, that's what has to happen going forward. I mean, I'd bring Al Harris in, and other people might bring other guys in, but I'd bring Al Harris.
I like that one, D.A.
That's my first call, 1-800-AL-HARRIS.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he seems to be really good at getting people in the secondary to separate the football from the guy that has it. Like, his guys do that on a regular basis wherever he goes. I think that's something that they should look into here.
For sure. For sure. I think that they got to get the pass rush situation
and that's
situated.
But,
yeah.
That's more about draft to me. That's more about, hey, you could yes, they need to trade down. They need to get more picks. But there's a couple guys that 6 and 7 that could be really good edge rushers. You might want to think about that.
When
and
I ask you about,
overthink this.
Wanted to ask you about the local basketball team, D.A. They're in action again tonight against the lowly Brooklyn Nets. It's probably going to be their fourth win in 5 games. Are they in danger at all? I was a big fan of your piece that you wrote a couple of days ago. Are they in danger at all, in your opinion, of losing the protection on that draft pick?
I would just say this. I think anybody involved with the Wizards should now understand that the lottery is not what you should put your hopes into. Like, you shouldn't be saying, oh, yeah, that's going to work out fine. It doesn't work out fine for them. It hasn't worked out fine for them since I was covering the team. So that tells you how long it's been. Yeah, I mean, look, no. Is it more likely that they keep the pick? Yes. But I would not want to give any opportunity for them to lose the pick by not finishing in the bottom four. Right now they're 4. Now, are they 3 games ahead of the 5th-place team? Yes. There's 50 games left. Like, that could change.
Yeah.
and not in the way that they would want. So I would be reluctant. And, you know, and this was the dichotomy that I was pointing to, which is it's going to be hard for them to look those young guys in the eye who have worked their tails off to get better and are now getting better and say, you need to sit down now.
Slow down.
Right.
That's going to be a hard conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be tough for them to pull off. But that's the gig. I mean, they've got to do what they have to do to hold on to that pick and have the opportunity, just the opportunity, to take one of these guys in the draft. And it's a really good draft. And these are really good players that are coming out. And they really need to get one of them, you know, because it's been – you just can't keep not having a franchise level player on your roster. They have some really good young players who can be really good pieces, but they're pieces.
Right.
They're the pips. They need Gladys Knight.
Oh, I love that. David, happy new year to you, buddy. Appreciate
Thanks,
the time
DA.
As always, my friend. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.